Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through this amazing season of the church here, this penitential season of Lent. Such a critically important time, and on a lot of levels. I mean, every year it's that way. It's not like this year is just a special year, but in some way, I think the timing of it and the grace that we can grow in, but a grace the whole world needs. I mean, I think one of the things that this season of increased prayer, increased fasting, almsgiving, attentiveness to the Lord, crying out to God, listening to the voice of God, I mean, the whole world is shaking and the political systems are shaking. And I mean, every day we hear about it and the level of just massive corruption that's going on in our country, even, and bad decisions and wars around the world. Just so much is there that is sobering and very discouraging. Although we shouldn't be surprised, we certainly hope these things wouldn't happen. But Jesus said, till he comes again, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and the world is fallen and it's full of corruption, and lots of leaders will be corrupt until he comes again, and the world will be corrupt and ordinary people will be corrupt. But we're living at a time when a lot is happening globally, and the rejection of God, rejection of the things of God, just extreme stuff like talked about in the program in the past, friends, like the radical decline of marriage, there's a little bit of turnaround here maybe in parts of the United States, but in the Western world, in the first world, the educated world where all the little gods live, everybody who Bishop Barron calls the culture of self-referential, is it self-invention, the culture of self-invention? And that's really what's going on. We're defining our own reality. We are who we say we are. And so I just happened to see a little short YouTube thing that appeared on my YouTube feed. In Ireland, these two women, one of which is a doctor of some kind, and she performs abortions. And they were celebrating. They had some champagne. And they were celebrating as the year ended because she performed 300 abortions last year in 2025. And they're just like full of joy because they think they're the good girls. They're the good guys in that they're doing a good thing. What are they doing? They're empowering women. Is what they say. They are saying they provide a safe place for women to be the masters of their own life, to have total control over their own body. And because they don't have a biblical worldview and understanding of God and the things of God and what they really are and where the true value is, their senseless minds, like the Bible says, their senseless minds are darkened. And they call darkness light. And it's horrible. And it's, again, another radical expression of the culture of death. And if you tuned in yesterday, the first reading we looked at yesterday was from Deuteronomy, the day after Ash Wednesday. It's the covenant promises, the call to the covenant of Israel. I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. So the battle is going on like it's always gone on, and it's very, very intense. And the unwillingness, for example, to not only be married, but to have children. These are huge things that are going on. In this case, the refusal to bring about the next generation. It's never happened in the world like it's happening now. And all of it is in the name of freedom, mastery over my own life, my own definition of reality. And what that is, friends, it is a fallen will. It's human pride. Human pride. There's nothing merciful about it. There's nothing good. There's no light there. They're calling darkness light, but it's total demonic deception. And so it's a spiritual battle at its foundation. So during this Lent, let's pray. Let's pray not only for ourselves and our families and maybe our children who are having that mindset, may have that mindset. Pray that true light will shine in the darkness. But let's pray for our political leaders. Let's pray for the nations. Let's pray to end war. These things break out in the disorder that is here, friends, because people forget God and don't have any fear of God. And therefore, the pride of mind takes over in the flesh, and foolishness is called wisdom in a fallen world. So the division, the pride, and the greed, and the lust, and all that stuff that's out there every day and seems to be growing, you must be the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You're meant to shine a light of sanity, of clarity, of faith, to be just a glimmer of God and the life of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the holy fear of God, to be a saint. Lent is about all of us helping each other move into the direction of sanctity, humbling ourselves. Because one of the things you see, and the saints help us so much, thank God for the church has kept the saints before us, because they not only reveal wisdom, true wisdom and understanding, knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit from Isaiah, the messianic gifts, understanding, and then fear of the Lord and counsel. They have so much that they give us. They see reality as it actually is, because their minds are renewed. Their mind is touched by the Holy Spirit, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they've been so yielded to Him, they've been transformed. Where they're going, we want to go. And you may feel like, oh, I don't want to get that serious. I don't want to. I just would rather sort of be slightly mediocre. Like, I'm okay with that. That's totally foolish. Totally crazy. And the saints are there to tell us. And the saints deposit little gold nuggets for us in many different ways. How to understand life, how to understand love, how to understand the value of the service of the kingdom and the level of relationship that we can have with God. And just so many wonderful things that they teach us. And one of them I just came across the other day, just reflecting on something I had worked on years ago. And I was so touched by, beginning with Teresa of Jesus and a few of the other saints, where what was clear to me as I was kind of working on this little project was the saints fall so deeply in love with the Lord, not just, again, like emotion or something. And going back to what I said yesterday about St. Augustine, one of his biggest fundamental teachings was the trouble we have as human beings is our loves are all disordered. Instead of putting first things first, the love of God first above all things, Jesus called it the first and the greatest thing. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, no matter what. And that's exactly what we see on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then love your neighbor, love of neighbor, and then love of self in that order. And you love yourself in God. You love your neighbor in God. And the grace of God helps us see our neighbor as God sees, and to see ourselves as God sees us. And the grace of God at work subdues the flesh that wants to flip those around and put self-love first. And over time, saints show us what can happen in the reordering of our loves through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And then, because their loves are reordered, they start getting insight to what matters most. And what matters most to them is what pleases God. And what's most on the heart of God. What God values the most. Because what God values the most is the most valuable thing. It's the most important thing. And I could just see times when reading the saints, how much they love the Lord. They're not just trying to do the right thing to get to heaven. But it's about love. It's about relationship. Back to yesterday, God calling the people of Israel to covenant relationship, to love. And I was moved by Teresa of Jesus. One day I was at the Eucharistic Chapel, and I just happened to be reading. And she said this. She's giving an insight into what she discovered of what Jesus particularly loves, what God really values. And she loves Him so much, she wants to love Him in a way that, like, God will experience it in a deeper way, or what He values most, to love what God values, I guess is the way to say it. But anyway, here's what she said. This is an inclination given me by our Lord, I think he prizes one soul, which, by his mercy and through our diligence and prayer, we may have gained for him more than all the other services we can render him. Now, there's a lover, and a light went on, because she was getting up each day, Lord, how can I love you? I want to love you. It's like the analogy would be like a couple, someone profoundly we love, we want to do what really pleases them. We want to do what's best for them, what they value the most. We want to celebrate it. We want to understand. So here she is. The light just went on for her to say, in essence, what does the Lord value most? How can I see it, understand it, and then both work toward it, help attain it for him? Why? Because I love him. I love him so much. And she's saying, again, this is an inclination given me by our Lord. How do you get such inclinations? You talk to him. You live with him. You love him. You've given your life to him. And you're quiet and you're listening. He'll reveal things he's inclined to. He'll share his secrets with you. And she's so hungry for him. He feeds the hungry. He answers those who pursue him and, Lord, show me how I can love you. What do you love most, Lord, in this life? I think he prizes one soul, which by his mercy and through our diligence and prayer, we may have gained for him. This one soul more than all the other services we can possibly render to him. Isn't that amazing? And as I was meditating on it, I was thinking, of course, Jesus came to save. Jesus is the Savior. And he died and rose again and poured out his Holy Spirit. What did he tell the apostles? Wait in the upper room, because what? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be my witnesses. You'll testify for the sake of the salvation of the world. And of course, every person, every single soul is eternal. Human beings are eternal creatures, and we're going to live one place or another. Everything else is going to pass away. Live for the greater glory of God in the same section. Nothing exalts his goodness, love, and mercy more than the work of saving souls. Therefore, love God and his glory means to love souls. It means to work and sacrifice oneself for their salvation. Here's St. Vincent de Paul. While he lived on earth, he directed all his thoughts to the salvation of men and women and still has the same sentiments for that is where God's will lies. He came and he comes for this every day, and by his example, he has taught us all the virtues necessary to his quality as Savior. And so let us hand ourselves over to him so he might continue that same quality in us and through us. Zeal for extending God's kingdom, zeal for procuring our neighbor's salvation. Is there anything more perfect? If the love of God is a fire, zeal is its flame. If love is a sun, zeal is its ray. Zeal is what is purest in God's love, zeal for souls. Now, there's something to grow in over Lent. Let's ask God to help us with that. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.